Oh, how many of y'all are glad to know it? You just sang it. Christ died. Christ died. That means everybody here can be forgiven. Anybody kind of excited about that? And, you know, I wouldn't preach to you if Christ had just died. If Christ had just died and he was dead, then guess what? You could make this statement. We're like all other religious philosophy. We had a leader. He did some good things, did some great moral teaching, had some moral philosophy. He passed on, next journey. But Christ is risen. I follow Jesus because he's the only guy that's dead and come back. I like that. I like that. And then guess what? And I'm telling you this, I don't know when. You'll have to get that off of some TV preacher for 1995. He's coming again. I don't know when. I just know he's coming again. I don't know when he's coming back. I'm not worried about when he's coming back. Because guess what? Here's what I know. The power of God in the past is the same power of God in the future, because God never changes. So that means in the present, God is still active. He is the God that created us. He's the God that will be there in the end. And he's the God that's in the right now. How many of y'all are glad to know that God is in the right now? He is here. Ought to give you some power. Now, let's go to Philippians. You say, well, what is the purpose of me being redeemed? I have many of my colleagues that argue with me. The gospel is the most important thing in the faith, that somebody else too would be forgiven and be connected. Y'all understand that? That's the most important thing. Now, listen, if you don't think it's the most important thing, I'm not going to sit here and get on you, because there's been a lot of preaching where the gospel hadn't been the most important thing. It just really hadn't been the most important thing. I got a set of my colleagues, they're behavior modification artists. They want you to come to church, and if you'll modify your behaviors, then God will love you. Well, here's the problem. I can't modify my behaviors by myself. It took Jesus Christ dying, rising, and living in me to make me different. How many of y'all are naturally good? If you raise your hand, you're a liar. Now, guess what? Some of y'all are naturally a better liar than others. Would you agree with that? And none of us inherently good, because guess what? Who do we think? Now, be honest with me today. Who do we think about before we think about anybody else? Let's be honest. How many of y'all wake up in the morning and go, man, I wonder how the world feels today? You don't start there. You say, I either feel good or I don't feel quite so good, or my wife's made me feel bad, or my husband hadn't done what he wanted me to, or the dog hadn't gone out when he was supposed to. Something will be wrong and it'll affect who? You. But really, I want to show you that Paul has a whole different mentality. Now, before we make Paul a hero, he's not a hero. Jesus is the hero of Paul. The apostle Paul was very dedicated to what he thought, what he felt, and the decisions he made before he met Jesus. So don't sit here and be on a big guilt trip and say, man, all I do is think about myself. Well, that's natural to those not involved in Christ. I mean, we live in a world, every advertisement tells you what? What does it really tell you? The essence of all advertising is what? It's about you. Some of you that are a little older, a little more seasoned, I can still remember this in my head today. I never liked Mercury Cougars, Ford Mercury Cougars, but I can still remember the commercial with the long-legged blonde laid out on the front hood. Because you know what they were trying to say? You drive a Mercury Cougar, you get a long-legged blonde. Hey, I drove a truck and got a short-legged blonde. You know, I mean, it just depends how you go. You know, see what I'm saying? You got to watch. You ready? What then? Paul says, what then? What then? What's this all about? Now, Paul's in prison. Rome's locked him up. He said the wrong thing. Now, I want to remind you, the God of the past, the God that secures the future, is in the God of the right now. And you say, what in the world do we need to do in the right now? When things aren't going right, rejoice in Christ. When things are going right, rejoice in Christ. Y'all got my rhythm? How do you know when it's not going your way, it won't be great? Let me run that by you one more time. How do you know when it's not going according to your plans that it won't end up great? Now, y'all may not believe this, but there was at one time, Elizabeth Ayers, the woman that sits over here that lives with me every day, I want to give you a statement that came out of her mouth at one time in her life when she was a junior in high school. She stood up in a public school, in a public classroom, in a public place. Y'all got my drift here? Public. Pointed her public finger, opened her public mouth, and said, "Only a fool would marry you, Steve Ayers." Elizabeth, is that not a true statement? She had no idea how beautiful it would be to go against her own will. You never know what's going to happen in today that will affect tomorrow. Amen? And she's right. Only a fool would marry me, but she decided she'd be it. So you never know. Okay, you never know how things are going to work out. Paul, that's why he said then, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ be proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. For some of you young preachers, I want to note you to the truth of God's word, and I want to help you get in a location where you might be effective instead of just noise. Quit worrying about what all the other preachers are saying and look real closely to what you're saying. You know what? Paul didn't call me to preach against other preachers. My country about really came out. Again, other preachers. If you're from a country, you understand that. I'm again it. That's not an English word. That's a country word. Again it. I'm against it. My job's not to tell you what's wrong with the church. My job's to proclaim Christ. He remember what he said? We got some crooked preachers. We got some straight preachers. We got some that do it out of the love of God. We got some that do it out of pure pretense. He said, I don't care how they do it. The message they carry is stronger than their reality. Isn't that a beauty? Guess what that means? The gospel, Jesus died, Jesus risen, Jesus coming again, is stronger than any messenger. Isn't that great? I don't know why we don't get this. I never get excited about the UPS guy showing up. Now, some of you ladies might, but I never get excited about you. I get excited about what? What he's bringing. You know, this is in or that. I get excited about the package. I get excited about the present. I get excited about what he's bringing. You know, don't get excited about the messenger. Get excited about the message. The message is Jesus lives in you. And he says, I rejoice. He said, I greatly rejoice. Let them talk. As long as they're talking about Jesus, something great's going to happen. How many of y'all understand? We got to start telling it and showing it and showing it and telling it. Now, here's what I hear a lot of. I just want to stand. Hey, I've done it too. We got to quit griping about everything that's wrong in the world because guess what? The world's going crazy right now. How many of y'all understand the world's going crazy right now? What now? And let me help you before you go. It's gone crazy before. How many of y'all glad to know that our crazy right now is not new crazy? It has been tried over and over again. Now, here's where you need to be worried. It has 100% failure rate. By the way, how many of you all are deeply fearing the great Caesar of Rome today? I mean, you wake up in the morning and go, man, I hope Caesar doesn't catch me doing this. Because guess what? He's done, but it is the Caesar that has Paul in prison at this moment of time. Any of y'all worried about Hitler today? Mussolini. The great Turkish army. These were all moments of history where it looked like that these men and women had taken the world by forever. But guess what? Their forever is always temporary. Never forget that in history. Nobody's made it past death but Jesus. Isn't it amazing that I'm talking about the Apostle Paul, but I never think about Caesar Augustus? Isn't it amazing that I talk about the great apostles today, but I don't talk about Nero, the corrupt? I mean, Nero, if you ever read about Nero in Rome, you think we got crazy politicians. Yeah, we're close to Nero. But guess what? Here's what Nero thought. I'm going to do everything that God doesn't want me to do, and I want to see how it worked out. Well, fine. He burned the city. Because here's what you'll find out. If you want to be God, it's 100% time you'll find out you're not God. Be careful. Paul says, but I'm going to learn to rejoice. Now, I'm going to show you an incredible way to live. Yes, I will rejoice. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be, what? At all ashamed, but that I will be full of courage. Now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death. Here's the attitude Paul had. He said, you know what? Whether I live or die, I'm going to be okay. Do you all realize that every one of you that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you live or die, you're going to be okay? How many of y'all really understand? How many of y'all believe that? Yeah, now watch this. This is crazy. I got to get down here. I got to come on down. I got to come on down. This is where we live, man. Guess what? If I die today, if this is my last day to take breath on this earth, guess what? I live in a glorious heaven forever. How many of y'all believe that? Now I'm going to show you there's a difference. How many of y'all have ever seen a believer die? Oh, I have. My grandmother died with a smile on her face. She knew where she was going. My granddad, thumbs up. Now, he had to deeply believe in the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? I'll have thumbs up, Don. When you get ready to leave, guess what? You're going to be good, aren't you? I don't know about y'all, but right now, in the morning, if I had to take a trip to Duluth, Minnesota, and if you're from Duluth, Minnesota, you need to thank God that you're not there today. But if this morning, in the morning, early in the morning, if I had to fly out to Duluth, Minnesota, I ain't smiling. I ain't happy. I'm probably not getting up in the morning going, honey, I get to go to Duluth. But I want you to know in the morning, if I had a flight to South Florida, I'd be grinning ear to ear. I want you to know I would be preaching in my flip-flops today. I want you to know I'd be thinking about, watch this, my destination creates my reality. Hold on, you better listen to me. My destination creates my what? Reality. How many of y'all realize that you're destined to heaven, compliments of Jesus Christ? You see, Paul kept that in mind. He said, I'm not ashamed of where I am because I know where I'm going. And if prison is a moment on the way to where I'm going, may God be glorified. Earl, when it's all over, where are you going to end up? There you go. Thumbs up. Now, Earl's an old pilot. You know what that means? Everything's running. But Earl, in this situation, even when they shoot both engines out, Earl didn't fly jets. He threw them. Earl remembers that noise. Here's old Earl up there over London. Now, Earl grew up in a weird time. He grew up in a weird time when we went to war, we actually fought. So we dropped bombs, big ones, on everything. And after a period of time, people said, we're tired of this. We think we will come to an agreement. We didn't like shoot M-80 firecrackers across the border going, y'all ready to have a negotiation? No, it was real. It's war. It's war, war. We brought peace in the midst of crazy. Is that peace going to last, Earl? Nope. You know why? Peace doesn't happen because we always want to be God. How many of y'all found this in your marriage? If one of you tries to be God, what usually happens? The other one spends a lot of time reminding you that you're not. Have you noticed that in a marriage? Doesn't matter which one, man or woman. Doesn't matter. Now check this out. Paul said no matter what goes on, life or death, may God be seen. What if we got that attitude among believers? I'm not asking the world to have that attitude, but I'm telling you, you should have that attitude. You've been remade by Christ. I mean, if we really had that attitude, then guess what? There's going to be a pocket of the world. Here's where we got to go to. Why are those people different? Why are those people different? People believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, they are different. Are they weird? Yes, they will love the hell out of you. That's weird. I'm going to show you why they're different. Paul's in a situation. If you were in prison, would you deem that a situation? Now, some of you get with me that like to be depressed and stressed. Do you think this would be a stressful situation? I wake up in the morning, I can't eat my, McDonald's and cheese biscuit because I got chains on my arms. They probably don't serve McDonald's in Roman prison. So he got some food that's not too good. He's got a location that's not too good. He's got a situation that's not too good. But guess what? He's got a God that is great. So guess what he focuses on? The God that is great and not his present moment. He said, no matter what happens to me, God will be honored. Second word, I think we ought to be full of joy and you ought to honor what God is doing in your life. I thank every one of you that are staying married. Stay married. Stay married. We are finally getting this together. Amen. How many of you know if you're married, there will be some days that you don't feel good? How many of y'all have come to that conclusion? Good, let's get real about it. Y'all may not believe this. It's hard for you to believe. But Elizabeth's had some days, some weeks, maybe even a couple of months where she couldn't believe she'd even marry somebody like me. I remember one time somebody asked me, we was in this little holy event. We had these super holy people. They said they took their hand and walked around for an hour in prayer. And then they looked at Elizabeth and me. They said, when y'all have conflicts, what do? I said, we fight like the Dickens, man. I mean, we go at it. They said, what do you do after you fight? We thank God that he has forgiven both of us. Because you know what? We found that after the reality of life, God still comes through. That's what Paul's saying here. No matter what goes on, stay. And so, church, I'm going to tell you, even when it doesn't feel good, what? Stay. There's going to be some days. How many of y'all have ever just woke up, nothing gone on, and you've been ticked off? Elizabeth looked at me before. She goes, what's the matter with you? I said, I'm ticked off. She said, what ticked you off? I said, just I'm ticked off. I said, it hadn't ticked me off, but I am preparing for what will tick me off today. I mean, y'all ever had one, anybody else other than me had it? Now, listen, I'm a sorry sinner saved by grace. That's why I'm just honest about it. Well, by the way, if you're a visitor looking for a really good pastor, you are really at the wrong church today. Now, if you're looking for a pastor who believes Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave, and we're all in this together, and our sins are only forgiven by Jesus, and there's no human being holier than Jesus, you're in a good place today. And we're all going to work on this together today. Okay, but none of us, now note this, none of us can save each other, but we sure can show each other Jesus. You see the difference? Paul said, no matter what goes on with me, I'm going to show the world that Jesus is Lord. Same for us today. We live in a crazy world. We're upside down. We're inside out. I'm not even going to deal with that today. I am appalled at the way we think. We applaud nonsense and ignore things that are great. And it's in all categories of life. But here's the problem. We who believe, we have the greatest problem of all. We say nothing. We say nothing. But guess what? We're supposed to say something. Jesus Christ made a difference in my life. We're supposed to show something. We're supposed to be concerned that somebody else gets better. Jordan, you're serving our country now. Thank you for serving our country. If you serve our country, you got to be concerned that somebody else gets what? Somebody else gets better. Look at what Paul said here. Yes, I will rejoice, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death. For to me to live is Christ. He says, if I live, I'm going to do what Jesus asked me to do. And if I die, it's gain. How many of y'all glad to know when you die, it's better than here? Now, guess what? Now watch. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, let's die. It means let's live. But in Christ, I live no matter what. Paul says, you know what? For if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor to me. Yet, which I'll choose, I can't tell. I guess what? If I die, I'm okay. I mean, I think you got to get to that. I had a doctor. He looked at me one time, and he gave me some bad news. He looked at me, and I tend to not have a real responsible diet sometime. And he said, if you do not correct your evil ways, and he looked at me as my doctor, a good doctor, and he looked at me, looked right in my eyes, and he said, Ayers, people like you, we don't put the little pads on you. We don't shock you. We pack you up and take you to Kirby. He said, you're high strung. I said, you believe so? He said, I've known you all my life. He said, you're wide open all the time. He said, if you have a heart attack, you're just going to be gone. And I said, well, great. I said, I came in, the world, boom, here I am, and I can go out, boom, and I'm fine. He looked at me, he goes, that really doesn't bother you. I said, you may not believe this, Doc. I actually believe what I preach. I'll be with Christ. I'll never have to pay taxes again, and I'll never have to hear from our politicians. This, to me, is heaven. Ever again will I have to hear the nonsense here on earth once I'm in heaven. John, heaven's a great place. Houseboat never tears up in heaven. Imagine that. Cars don't run out of gas in heaven. Elizabeth will never fuss at me one time in heaven for all eternity. You don't fuss much anyway, but I'm talking never. Now, I'm glad she's not standing up giving a list of all the nevers that I will never have in heaven. But guess what? If I die, I'm okay. How many of y'all really realize that? If you die, you're okay. If somebody puts a gun to my head right now, I'll say, well, now listen, brother. I love you, and you're going to shoot me, and I'm going to die and go to heaven. There is a possibility you may meet Jesus, too. It just depends how quick I am right now. But guess what? If I die, I live. Do you understand that? Because of Christ. If I die, I live. That changes the way you live. And if I live, guess what? I live. Paul said, I'm going to stay because I want you to get better. He said, my concern is that you to get better. In church, I want us to get that kind of attitude because it's already in you. Guess what? When I tell you these things on Sunday, I'm not asking you to do anything that you aren't already capable of what?
Doing.
Because who's in you? Jesus. Look what Paul said. If I am to live in flesh, that means fruitful labor to me. That means you bear fruit. That means people get better beside you. That means you're concerned about others. That means if God calls you to be a pastor of a church, it grows. It's not just a glorified Bible study. It's not just a philosophical organization. We got those. Those are called universities. What we need is churches that are filled with people that have new life, helping each other get better with the responsibility of guess what? Let's go show and tell the world about who? Courtney, about who? Jesus. So my personal testimony, guess what? My personal testimony is not as relevant as Jesus' testimony in me. If you ask me right now, how in the world have you stayed married 30 years? In December, been married 30 years. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus. Now, if I go to my psychological profile and I look at how I'm wired, I look at how I think, guess what it says on my psychological profile? Most likely to be divorced many times. But if I look at my Jesus profile, guess what he says? All things are possible. Now, do you see how that applies? Y'all see how that applies? Jesus works every day, in the everyday. That's why Paul said, I'm going to stay so you'll get better. Which will I choose to do? You know, Paul may not have a choice. If Rome decides to kill him, what's going to happen to him? If the emperor says, I'm going to kill you, Paul, what's going to happen to him? He's going to die, but Christ be glorified. If he says, I'm going to let you go, he says, Christ be glorified. You see the commonality there. So guess what? Let's live lives where others get better. I am hard pressed between the two, Paul says. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. I believe heaven is better than here. And I don't know about y'all. I've kind of liked it here, but I believe heaven is better than here. Sometimes the Lord has really done some really neat things in my life. I've got to be some neat places in the world. And, you know, I love going out west. Some of you all, how many of y'all have been out west before? And you look over a valley and the sun is setting or the sun is rising. It is incredibly beautiful, isn't it, Elizabeth? And you look and these beautiful valleys or the beautiful mountains or the beautiful beach. I think beaches are beautiful or beautiful lakes. And there's this beautiful nature that God has been this ultimate artist of creating all. And guess what? And sometimes it's breathtaking. I'm not gonna kid you at all. It's breathtaking how beautiful it is. And guess what? Heaven is far better than that. I mean, think about how I can't get there. I don't have enough hard drive. Some of you say, well, that's obvious. By the way, you don't either.
Well, I made a 32 on my ACT. I got a word for that. Whoopity-doo.
I give a lot of people food that made a 32 on their ACT because they don't know how to work and they don't know how to invest and they don't know how to think and they don't know how to live. A lot of them don't have Christ living in them. I mean, Christ living in you changes you. Does that make sense? It's far better. Paul says it's far better. And Paul's a bad boy. I mean, he had it going on. Harvard grad of his time, studied under the feet of Gamaliel, a Roman citizen. Paul had coin, and he traded in status, fame, and coin for who? For Jesus. Church, we got to wake up. Listen, I know some of us are impressed with Hollywood, but guess what? I guarantee you 50 years from now, nobody will know who Beyonce is. That's right. Some of y'all know more about twerking than you do the scripture. You go, Myers Fires, he's a twerker. Guarantee you, 100 years from now, they won't know what twerking is. You shouldn't know, especially if you're old like me. And if you're young, keep you twerking to your own house. That's all I'm talking about that. But hold on. We know more about Hollywood than we know where. Come on, I know I got you nervous now.
all the old men going. Now, listen, I just looked it up, preacher, because I wanted to see what it was. I didn't know what it was. And after I looked it up, I said, my God, I can't believe it's that. There's Hollywood and there's heaven. Which one's more glamorous? One has a white throne, the other has a red carpet. One lasts forever and one lasts for a moment. Here from forever. Let's live a life where others get better. It's really worth it. Look, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. He said, I'm going to see you Philippians again. I want to share in communion with you. I want to worship with you. I want to pray with you. I want you to know that because of my arrest, the kingdom of God just got better. That I follow a Jesus that's worth getting arrested for. Like, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? I wonder how large Hillview Heights Church would be if you got arrested for the gospel. Now, some of y'all are going, well, I'll tell you what, I stand for the gospel. Listen, if you're worried about the temperature, if you're worried about your parking lot, if you're worried about who's sitting next to you, if you're worried about who's got what on, you won't be here. Because here's what I learned a long time ago. If you can't stand in the little things, you'll never make it to the big showdown. You say, well, Pastor Harris, why don't you say that to people all the time? Ain't none of my business. I'm going to tell you the truth. You got to decide if you want to believe it. And I'm not going to chase you down. But I'm going to pray Jesus does. We got to get to the truth. There's a lot of crazy things out there. Hey, listen, guys, we're celebrating stuff that will destroy this nation. Not only are we embracing it, we are celebrating it. Yeah, that's what we needed, some more dope heads. Like, we were low on that in the United States of America. We need to be lulled out more. What do you think? We need to think less. We're thinking too much in our nation. How many of y'all think we just think too much here? We're just too brilliant. Come on, guys. Wait, this is real. Now, let me tell you what. Here's our problem in South Central Kentucky. We think it'll never touch us. We got a big case of the ostrich. We like to stick our head in the sand. You know what the problem is with living with your head in your sand? Your rear gets warm. Because it's always tilted. You know, if you sit here and your head in your sand, you're going to have, yeah, you get sunburned. Mm-hmm. Can't think well. We got to wake up and say, wait a minute, I want my life to make a difference so somebody else will get better. Ready? We're going to close on this. What Paul did, he said, I want you to get better. If I come to you, you're going to get better. If I die, you're going to get better. No matter what happens in the world, you're going to get what? Better. Sully, don't you wish we could have coached a football game with that confidence? We didn't know what was going to happen. What if Peyton Manning knew he was going to win the Super Bowl? It'd have helped on that first play, wouldn't it? I mean, here goes, he goes up here, does the Peyton thing, woo, there goes the ball there. How many of y'all realize the Broncos got off to a horrible start? And they never recovered from what? The first play. They never recovered from the first play. But see, the grace of God allows us to recover from our misplays, so that we might join Jesus' victory. You see how that works there? That's why Paul went on. He said, I want you to have an ample reason to rejoice with me. People get better. And then he calls us at the end of that letter to do this. Live out your life worthy of the Jesus that's in it. So guess what we ought to show people? How many of y'all think kindness is a pretty good idea? Be kind to one another. I do. How many of y'all are kind even when, listen, I want y'all to start freaking people out, especially at Walmart. Great place to freak people out. I'm telling you, y'all do this, people will think you need to go. Wayne, am I not telling the truth? If you let somebody in front of you in a Walmart line, people look at you like, you going to rip me off? You going to mug me? What are you going to do? I did that one day just because I like to mess with human beings. I let three of them go in front of me. Because these people behind me, two of them was really big, and I thought, man, if they get disturbed, I could get run over. I'd get hurt here. I don't know if I was thinking about them or my personal injuries. They were just so anxious. Like, wah, wah. I just looked and I said, hey, guys, will y'all just go ahead in front of me? They said, are you in a hurry? I said, not the one you're in.
and they were buying double stuffed Oreos. I looked to see what they had because I wondered what they had. They had two boxes of double stuffed Oreos, and if they didn't check out in the next 5 seconds, the whole world was coming to an end. And I thought, life in danger, you get in between somebody who wants to eat their double stuffs and they can't. Be watch. How many of y'all get in a hurry about going nowhere? How many of y'all are so anxious about nothing? And how many of you put very little time into what will be something? Let's wrap her up. Only let your manner be this, verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent or I hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in anything by your opponents. He tells us to do this. Stand firm. Even when nobody else wants to stand. And he ended up saying this in verse 29. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but guess what? For the sake of the gospel, you may suffer. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now here that I still have. You know what that tells me, Chris? You a weatherman, you understand this. Guaranteed conflict. What does a weatherman got? Guaranteed conflict. Guaranteed. Referees, what do they have? Umpires, what do they have? Guaranteed conflict. It's guaranteed. Business owner, what do you have? Come on, follow me. Same word. Don, you do a little business. What are you guaranteed? Guaranteed. Promise you somebody will want to pay their rent late this month. You want to take odds on that? Because it's what? Human. It's real. How many of y'all are married? Raise your hand if you're married. It's a beautiful thing. Guaranteed conflict. Guaranteed. Why? Because she don't listen. There you go. You in trouble before we get to the altar. Lenny. That's real. Hold on. How many of y'all had kids? Oh, how smart was that? Watch this. You birthed conflict. How cruel is that? From a wonderful night, you get a 2-year-old. Is God not funny or what? Some of y'all didn't have enough 2-year-olds because you kept doing it over and over again, making more to you. Yeah, I mean, it's real. You know what I mean? God loves us. Look at those three things in your life. No matter where you are, the God of the past, the God of the future is in the moment of the present. I'm tired of hearing from Hollywood. Let's hear from heaven. I don't think Hollywood's working too well. What do you think? Live a life that honors the God that's in you. And live a life worthy of what Jesus is doing. We're going to be all right. Amen. Let's stand together. We got opportunity. When you look at an altar call, this may be the first time some of y'all have ever seen this. I'm going to invite people to come forward. But guess what? God already got to you long before I give this invitation. I want to be very clear on this. No preacher can save anybody. So if you hear one of my colleagues going, well, my gosh, I preached this week and 5 people got saved. Blame that on Jesus Christ. But I do want you to know this. If you've never asked Jesus to come in your life, you're separated from him. And every opportunity I talked about at this moment is not available. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you die, you need to be worried because you're in a hell of a situation. Literally. I really preach this because I want you all to know this. If you're trying to get saved by being good, you will never be good enough to be in heaven. Just quit. So tired of hearing this garbage. Well, I'm going to heaven because I don't smoke cigarettes. That has nothing to do with heaven. That has to do with clean lungs. Nice breath. Some of y'all are so proud. You know, well, by God, preacher, I know I'm going to heaven. I've never drank a beer. You'll need a cold one where you're going, I promise. And you won't want them coolers, choo-choo train cold, because it's hot. I tell you that so you'll understand that's not salvation. This is salvation. Lord Jesus, I've sinned against you. I know it. I've sinned against God. I've not been what I've been made to be. You got to come there first. How many of y'all realize you've sinned? Look at the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all passed? Raise your hand if you passed the Ten Commandments. Good. At least we ain't got no liars. But we got some adulterers, some murderers, some thieves, coveters. I bet some of y'all even coveted. Walking in church today, saw some new ride in the parking lot. Go, man, I'll tell you what, I wish I had a ride like that. Well, get a job. There's no big secret to this deal. Maybe today you need to say, God, I have broke the Ten Commandments. I'm a sinner, and I need you to come into my life. We've already seen several people get saved at 8 o'clock. I believe God wants to save a few more at 9:30. What do you think? Well, pray with me right now. Listen, you can go to heaven, not because you're good, but because God is merciful. Not because your daddy's wonderful and your mama's great, but because Jesus Christ is the Lord who says, if you ask me, I will. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. That changes reality. It changes present power, and it changes future destination. It's all God. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. Lord Jesus, I believe you're risen from the grave. Lord who? Well, that's who saves us, amen. If you've not been baptized, I'm going to strongly, because I love you so much, encourage you to be baptized, because Jesus said be baptized. You said, preacher, they got me when I was a baby. I'm cool with that, other than this. I think you need to reconfirm yourself with that. How many of y'all fed yourself when you were 6 months old? I mean, you went to the cabinet and pulled out smashed squash. Lord Jesus, come in my life, forgive me my sin. If you've had that experience, then be obedient in baptism and say, you know what? I want the world to know that I've been buried with Jesus, I've been risen with Jesus, and I'm going to be with Jesus. That's what that baptism says. Amen. We don't ask people to be baptized so they can be a member of a church. We ask Jesus to be obedient to Jesus so you declare his glory. Amen. That's what baptism is about. If you haven't done that, let's get that done. By the way, this is just me. You can look at me. You want to close your eyes. This is just me, but I'm pretty accurate here. This is not a moment of history to be messing with your spiritual life. For you young people, say, well, I got a lot of time. No, you don't. You will not live in the United States that I've lived in. And it is closing faster than I thought it was. And I thought it was pretty fast. So we better be ready. I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I'm just saying it's going to be different. Does that make sense? But you're going to have to decide if you're going to stand for your faith. That's going to be rougher than a snowstorm in Atlanta. Boy, once you get saved, you believe. You believe God will bring you through anything. I'm telling you, it changes everything. I believe that. I believe God's stronger than Caesar. So come. Oh, blessed to the Father. Come, those of you who need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come and pray. Those of you who've said that the Lord will use you to declare his glory. May Jesus be seen today. Come on, church. Come on in here. Come on up to the altar. It's open right now. I'm asking you to come and just let God just breathe his spirit into you. Some of y'all going to be baptized. Some of y'all going to be blessed. Some of y'all going to just come and pray and let God touch you.